As you write your life story, you're far from finished. Are you looking to close the book on your job? Maybe turn a page in your career? Be continued at the Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies. Our professional master's degrees and certificates are designed to meet you where you are and take you where you want to go. At Georgetown SCS, the learning never stops, and neither do you. Write your next chapter. Be continued at scs.georgetown.edu/podcast.
Hey, it's Wendy.
And it's Jess, and you're listening to the Food Heaven Podcast,
your online resource for delicious and nutritious living. Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Food Heaven Podcast with Wendy and Jess.
Yay! So today we have a special guest, Eva Cosmas Flores. And Eva is an author, photographer, vlogger, and educator. And she shares recipes plus homesteading tips on her blog, Adventures in Cooking. And as an avid photographer, she also teaches online photography and branding classes and hosts travel-based food photography workshops across the globe through her company, First We Eat. Wow, sounds amazing.
Yeah, and what I appreciate most about Eva is that you can tell, because we have her cookbook, and you can tell just by looking at the recipes, the photos, it's absolutely breathtaking, beautiful,
gorgeous.
And guys.
Yeah, you can just tell that Eva's like very connected to the food that she's making, where it comes from, how it's grown, when it's grown. And I think a lot of us want to aspire to this. So we're really excited to be talking with her today about food, seasonal eating, urban farming. Welcome to the podcast, Eva.
Thank you guys so much. I'm so stoked to be here.
Yay. So in your bio, you mentioned that you use your platform to educate people on homesteading. So tell us a little bit about what that is.
So to me, homesteading is kind of a combination of the idea of being as self-sustaining as you can reasonably be wherever you are, while at the same time connecting to the earth around you. So when you start to do homesteading tasks, like growing some of your own veggies, for example, you'll start to kind of tune in more to what's happening in the earth around you. So you'll notice the seasons changing, days are getting shorter. Also the way these seasonal changes affect the wildlife. So for example, I'm always battling yellow jackets in my garden, unfortunately, in late summer. So it's something that I know to be careful when I'm out there around this time. And then it kind of makes you notice a little bit more about animals and their role in the environment if you start to go more on the creature end of homesteading, so like honeybees or chickens, and kind of understanding their role in the environment and the food chain. And also how you fit into that too. So for me, the most meaningful part is kind of having that deep connection to my food and where my food is coming from.
Awesome. I love that. I hadn't heard of the term homesteading before. Yeah, so thanks for that definition. Now, we want to talk about your relationship with food or to food. So have you always felt so connected to your food, or is that something that has shifted throughout the years? How did you, get into this space?
That is a really good question. So I grew up in a suburb of Portland, Oregon. I grew up in Hillsborough. It's just like a normal suburb. So I lived in a normal neighborhood and a house, and we had a big backyard, but it wasn't huge. But my parents were still super avid gardeners. So we always ate stuff from the garden all year, because my parents, even though Oregon like is only really sunny in the summer, the rest of the year is very cloudy, so you can't grow tomatoes all year or anything, but they were great about preserving stuff. So growing up, my parents also had a Greek deli. So I grew up helping at the restaurant and stuff. So obviously both my parents were like great cooks. I was super lucky. We ate seasonal fresh food year round. It was amazing and delicious. But like most kids, I definitely didn't realize how good I had it while it was actually happening. You just take things for granted. So I just thought that was normal, no big deal. And then when I was 18, I moved to Los Angeles and I went to college at LMU, and we had this company that you might have heard of catering the whole campus called Sodexo.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
we're familiar.
I used to work at a hospital that they were at. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, so it was rough. So Sodexo does like huge mass catering for like prisons and hospitals and some college campuses. So it's definitely not very good food. It's like super processed. And just that kind of like crazy shock transition from like eating like farm to table every day to like eating this crazy processed stuff and not being able to cook either, you know, because when you're in a dorm, there's no kitchen. You can have like a microwave and that's it. So that was definitely a huge change in the connection that I felt to food. And it was something that I was really missing like those first few years at school. So after the second year, I moved off campus and had an apartment, and I ended up living in LA for like 9 years. And so during that whole time that I lived there, as soon as I got my own place, I'd always been growing at least some tomatoes on the balcony in containers. And then luckily the last place that I lived in LA, we were actually running a little bungalow and there was a yard. So I had even more stuff growing out in the garden there. And then we moved out to Portland about 4 years ago, got our house, and we have an awesome garden out here. So when we first moved in, it was just a big front yard with a bunch of grass, like a really nice lawn. But my mom and I went out and covered it with compost and newspaper to like naturally kill all the grass. And then we tilled it up a little bit. And then I just turned the whole thing into a vegetable garden. So now the whole front yard is just booming, production of vegetables and fruits and herbs. And, yeah, it feels really good to have that strong connection to food again. But it was kind of something that I started with and then lost and then kind of came back around to having again. And I think having lost it and then reclaimed it again, it really made me appreciate it all the more.
The situation that you have right now sounds like where I want to be.
Goals and dreams.
Like what? How big is your plot of land?
I want to see it.
Yeah, like for a front yard, like I think that means for me in New York, that would mean like literally like a foot of land. So what does that mean for like where you live?
So for me, I think my whole lot that I live on, including my backyard, my house, and my front yard is about a quarter of an acre. And then the front yard itself is probably like half of that. So maybe like an eighth of an acre. I'm not sure like exactly how many feet that is. It might be like 50 feet by 50 feet or something, like somewhere around there. So it's like big, but it's not like crazy. You know, it's not like we have several acres at our house. But I'm really big on like companion planting and stuff to kind of maximize the production of all the vegetables without using like pesticides or anything like that. But that being said, my husband and I did just buy like 2 or 3 months ago, we bought a 29-acre homestead plot out along the Columbia River Gorge. So in the coming years, we will actually eventually be moving out there and kind of expanding the homestead.
Oh my God. Will you be off the grid?
We want to be, like, as much as we can.
That's my ultimate goal.
Wow, that sounds so cool. So let's talk about seasonal eating, because your cookbook, it's divided by seasons. So can you talk about why seasonal eating? Like, what are some of the benefits?
Yeah, totally. So for me, seasonal eating is also really tied to eating locally. So I'm going to talk a little bit about both of those things. So I think the number one appeal for a lot of people is flavor. So when you allow plants to grow in their native season, you're really allowing the plant to flourish because it has evolved to be at its height of appeal during that specific time of year. Because the whole point of like a fruit, something with seeds, is for that fruit to be delicious so that an animal will eat it and then distribute those seeds. So it really wants to be appealing, like it's in the plant's best interest to be appealing. So when you eat it at the height of the season, it's going to taste amazing. And then kind of going down that same vein of not fighting against nature. So when you are eating something that's in season, the plant has evolved all these defenses, these natural mechanisms to kind of protect itself from the normal bugs and issues and like fungi that it might have. Might be facing that time of year. So you don't have to use pesticides or like chemical fertilizers at that time of year when you're growing the plant in season, because it has those natural defenses that it's evolved specifically around growing in that time frame. Whereas on the other hand, if you want to eat strawberries in December, that is going to be a totally different situation. So those are probably not going to be even grown in the U.S. So that's going to have to be shipped from far away. So huge carbon footprint. You also are probably going to have a lot more pesticides on there because the, you know, strawberries being grown now in an environment where it has a whole host of new pests that it did not evolve to be able to combat. So probably going to be a lot more chemicals around the food that you're eating in terms of the growing process. And there's a lot of stuff online about like, oh, you know, like long-term effects of like pesticides for people eating the foods, like still up in the air, who really knows? Even if that is true, there are terrible health effects for the people working on these farms that are exposed to these pesticides day in and day out. So at the very least, like think about the person that's working on that farm and having to like touch and breathe in those pesticides every day. So better to eat organic and also local for that alone. And then, yeah, when you're eating seasonally, also locally, you're supporting local farmers, which is awesome. So you're supporting people in your community who are really passionate about what they do. And especially if you're buying directly from them at the farmer's market, or like you have a CSA subscription, it's great because you can actually ask them questions about the specific produce that you're buying from them. Like, oh, this is a really cool like yellow tomato. What kind of tomato is this? Or, you know, what do you recommend that I make with this asparagus? Like they'll be able to answer literally any question. Whereas if you go to like a big chain grocery store and you ask the produce person, you know, they're not going to have that breadth of knowledge and they're not going to be that close to the source. So it's really awesome. When you eat locally, you have kind of this deeper connection to the food. And then just one more thing too about eating food that's out of season and imported from far off countries. So when you eat really exotic imported food, you also have to think about the growing conditions of that food. So like palm oil, for example, is like huge in a lot of processed foods right now. Unfortunately, it's like the go-to fat that they use. But there's a lot of deforestation issues in the rainforest where the rainforest is being bulldozed to grow more palm trees to harvest palm oil. Or there's even like deeper ethical issues like quinoa, for example. So that was a main dietary staple in Peru for the native peoples. But then it became like a really big food trend. And of course, that made the price of quinoa go up astronomically. And then none of the native populations could afford to eat it anymore. And they started suffering from malnutrition because their mainstay was gone. And so there's all these like weird little trickle down effects that happen when you eat out of season or you eat these like really exotic imported foods that have to travel really far to get to you. So it's really the best thing you can do for your body in terms of like the plant being able to absorb a ton of nutrients from the soil because it's really happy and healthy at growing at the height of its season. And that means more nutrients in the food for you as well. It's better for the earth and it's also just better for humanity as a whole. So yeah, that's my two cents on why it's awesome to eat seasonally and also eat locally.
Agreed. Now, for people who just want to do better in terms of eating more locally and seasonally, but who maybe don't have a big plot of land, maybe people like Wendy who have a windowsill to like grow all this food, like what are some practical things that they can do to eat seasonally? I know you mentioned a CSA and also shopping at a farmer's market, but can you kind of elaborate on those things, especially for some folks who may not know what a CSA is?
Totally. So yeah, definitely shopping at your local farmer's market is going to be one of the easiest things to do. Just Google, you know, farmer's market and then the name of the town you live in, and then you can find out where it is and when it is. Typically, they happen like every week. There's like once a week and you go and then you can just buy awesome fresh produce from the farm or from local bakeries and stuff. And then the other thing that you can do is to join a CSA. So CSA is really awesome. It's kind of like the original subscription box. So CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture, and it's basically a subscription to a specific farm or a collective of farms where every week they put together a little box for you with whatever is in season and fresh from their farm. So right now I have a CSA subscription to my friend Andrea's farm, Tumbleweed Farm. Her blog is Dishing Up the Dirt, by the way, if you ever want to check it out. She's a really awesome food blogger, but she has a farm.
Oh,
and
cool. Yeah, I love her blog. I'm like, that sounds so familiar. Nice. Yes, like, I love the whole farm-to-table vibe that she has going on. And she has, like, doesn't she have, like, pigs and, like, chickens and all types of, like, beautiful animals on her farm?
Yeah, she has pigs and chickens. And they're all, like, running around in, like, with Mount Hood in the background because her farm is like right at the base of this beautiful mountain. So it's just like the most idyllic place ever.
Yes. Oh, love it.
Yeah. So like she has a CSA. And so every week I go and I get like mystery vegetables. They send out an email on the pickup day, letting me know what the vegetables in my CSA that week are. So that way, if I want to like Google, like, oh, you know, like, what do I do with mustard greens? Then I can, you know exactly what it is and figure out how to cook it. But it's a really fun way to eat more vegetables, try new things. And then, especially in the bigger cities, you'll find that there's a lot of CSA boxes that are kind of like a collective of different farms. So you might have like this one vegetable farm that joins forces with a local cheesemaker. And then a local creamery. So you can pick up a box with like raw milk, local veggies, and then locally made cheeses. And those are like really cool too. So those are my two biggest recommendations, farmers market, CSA. And then one more thing that I think makes a huge difference too in terms of quality and sustainability in the environment is if you're an omnivore and you eat meat, definitely try to find a local farmer that you can buy meat directly from. So I have a friend who raises chickens and she also raises pigs. And so you order in advance however much you want. So we order a half hog about every 6 months. And so when it's time for the hog to go to slaughter, the butcher calls me and then he asked me a bunch of questions about how exactly I want my meat cut, which is kind of nice that you get like these specific questions just for you. So do you want this as like a whole roast or do you want me to grind it up and have like sausage? Is that more useful for you? You know, like when you're cooking, what do you typically make? And also, of course, it's like raised humanely on a farm. They're wandering around outside on the grass. You know that the meat's going to be a lot more full of vitamins too, because they're eating a really great diverse diet. And it's local and sustainable. So I definitely recommend buying the meat direct from a local farmer if you can. Also cost-wise, so on average for what I pay right now, the meat, like the price per pound for the pork that I get, for organic, like really great different roasting, pork chops and tenderloins and all that, it's like the same as if I were to buy it per pound, just like the crappy ground organic meat from the grocery store. But instead of just ground meat, I'm getting like a million different cuts, custom cut to like what I want as a cook. So if you have a freezer, that's like the best thing and it tastes so good too. Yeah,
that's great that you said that, because just listening in the back of my head, I'm like, oh my God, this is probably so expensive. Just like getting the exact cut that you want. But it's good to know that it is comparable to like the supermarket prices. Cause a lot of times, like even when going to the farmer's market, a lot of people do think that it is pricier than like the supermarket produce. And a lot of times it's not. It's actually way more affordable because it is local. And the farmers, a lot of times they'll lower the price, especially if you go close to the closing time, cause they want to get rid of everything. So that's really good that you touched on that. Yeah. So for our listeners, that a lot of our listeners, they just don't know what to make. Like, they end up maybe trying a few new recipes and then they just make the same thing over and over again. And then they're like, I'm bored. I'm just going to eat out. And with your recipes, they're just so beautiful, so creative. And I love that it's simple. Like, the ingredients are straightforward, whole foods, you know, just very like no mystery ingredients. So where do you get your inspiration to like create all of this beautiful food?
So I definitely am like, here's inspired by the season. So whatever I'm cooking is definitely based in whatever season it is. But I also travel a lot for the photography workshops that I teach. So I'm definitely inspired by like different regional cuisines. So wherever I am, I always try to eat like whatever the local food there is like. And I draw a ton of inspiration from that when I come back home and start cooking and whipping stuff up in the kitchen. But honestly, a lot of being able to kind of come up with really good dishes from super simple ingredients is just ingredient familiarity and kind of understanding how similar flavor profiles will work together. So, for example, I have a recipe that I really love for cornbread with heirloom tomato slices baked on top of it.
Oh, God.
It is very good. Oh, and there's like grated cheddar inside the cornbread. So it's pretty good. But so that's like a very summery dish, right? Because like heirloom tomatoes. But if I wanted to make that in the winter, then something just as tasty and super easy that I could swap it out for are persimmons, because they have a really similar flavor and texture to tomatoes. So that's something that, like, if I wanted to be creative and like change it up a little bit, I could easily swap it out and make it work for that time of year. So my biggest tip, I think, to people when it comes to cooking is like, find like 5 recipes that you really like and that you can make regularly and that are easy and don't take forever and don't stress you out. And then start playing around with ingredient swapping for like the vegetables in there or like the proteins. And then you can get like really creative with kind of making different versions of different dishes. And then you end up with whole new recipes, which is super fun.
Love it. So out of curiosity, what do you actually eat in a typical day? Do you mind sharing?
Yeah. So for breakfast, we always have an egg from one of our chickens. And then my husband's actually the breakfast maker. So he fries up an egg for us, well, for me. And then he has like a few because he's a giant. He's 6'3" and I'm 5 feet tall. So he also makes potatoes. So he'll like fine dice them, saute them so they're crispy on the outside, but nice and soft on the inside. And then we usually have like some sauteed veggies on the side. So it's just like whatever we have from the garden or from my friend Andrea's CSA. And then for lunch, we definitely, like the mainstay I would say for lunch is some sort of like tortilla contraption where we basically use like the tortilla as a vessel for whatever veggies we have around. So a lot of times it's just kind of like pan fried veggies, sauteed veggies wrapped up in a tortilla with like some fresh lettuce and onion chopped on top. And then I actually use Greek yogurt on it instead of sour cream because I like how tangy it is. And then a little bit of hot sauce. And so that's like a pretty regular lunch staple. And then for dinner, it totally depends on what we have from the garden or the CSA that we basically just need to use up before it goes bad. So right now we have a ton of summer squash. So I've been grating them up just like with a little cheese grater and making a batter with the grated squash and then frying them in olive oil to make the little fritters. And then I do like a little cucumber yogurt dipping sauce with them. So almost like a tzatziki. And that's been like our staple this summer so far.
Oh,
I'm getting hungry.
God.
Like lunchtime over here also.
You need to cook for us if we come to Portland. Because I'm just like, that sounds very exquisite.
You guys will love it.
Yes. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, I can't wait to make the recipes in the cookbook. I'm super excited. I was already bookmarking like all the ones that I want to make.
Wait, can you share the name of your cookbook?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So my cookbook is called First We Eat. So it's the same name as my online course and workshop company.
Yeah. And that's actually, why don't you like plug in everything, like what you're going to be up to in the coming months, your website where people can learn more about you, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram at Eva Cosmas Flores, and then I also have my food blog. So I talk about like recipes and homesteading, and it's at adventuresincooking.com. And then I also teach online courses for like food photography and styling. And I also do the travel-based workshops, which are really fun. So you learn photography, but then we also have fun excursions that are always like food or drink related to the country that we're staying in. And those are all at firstweeat.co. Yeah, and then you can just find my book on Amazon or in your local bookstore. It's called First We Eat. And yeah, it's full of delicious, simple, seasonal recipes.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all of this information. We loved having you as a guest on the podcast. So yeah, thanks again.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
So thank you all so much for tuning into another episode of the Food Heaven podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please do us a huge favor and leave a review on iTunes right now. The more reviews we get, the higher we're ranked in the iTunes search engine, which means we reach more people. And we actually have a listener review that we wanted to share. So the person writes, "I love this show. I learn something new every time I listen. Jess and Wendy make nutrition easy to digest and to incorporate into daily life." And thank you so much whoever wrote that review. We love it. And for those of you who haven't left a review already, take a minute to drop us some stars and some love when you can.
Yep. And you can also connect with us online on all the interwebs at Food Heaven Show. Our podcast is released every Wednesday. In each episode, we cover tips and tricks for making lifelong sustainable living changes to upgrade your diet and health. We also interview leading experts in the field of health and nutrition to pick their brains on how to cultivate a healthy life that you love. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.